This is URN Sport.
It has been 82 days since the Super Bowl. 82 days of off-season stories to catch you up on. You're listening to a URN Sports special. Yes, it's URN Touchdown. Glad to have you with us. I hope you're all having a lovely day. I am joined by Gloucester's answer to Tom Brady. Yes, it's April Marsden. April, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you, Dom?
I am very excited for tonight's show because we've got a very packed show. And on today's playlist, we will talk about the draft with expert April's analysis. The off-season trades will keep you up to date on that. The season's changes for next year and what you can expect as a fan. And as it's local election day, we've asked our listeners which NFL player they'd like to have as their prime minister. But before we get going on all that, a big shout out to the crew of HMS Kent. Jacob's on board. A big shout out to Jacob. He set sail last Sunday for a big deployment across Asia. Best of luck to all of you there. Back to the NFL. The draft is over. The future is about to begin for 259 rookies drafted into 32 teams across 3 days. April, you are the expert when it comes to the draft. Who do you think had the best draft this year?
Well, I'm not sure about expert, but I mean, I think you're meaning that I know more than you, but I'm not too sure about that either.
No, you're the expert.
Okay, we'll just go with it. The best draft, I mean, it's kind of an obvious answer, I guess, but I'm going to go for Jacksonville Jaguars. They had the number one overall pick. If you do follow our Instagram, which is URN_touchdown, we posted a little explainer of like how the draft works. And because Jacksonville had the worst record from last year, they got the first pick. So with the first pick, you think they'd take the best player, and sort of everyone's opinion, everyone sort of agreed that Trevor Lawrence was the best player. And Jacksonville took him as the first pick. And I think he's really going to like transform their whole team. You know, last year they had one win. They're going to get more than one win this year. Right, I would bet money on that, because Trevor Lawrence is definitely going to like make them better, make all the players around him play better as well, and just give hope to everyone at that team and all the fans as well. I can see them being maybe not the playoffs, but definitely sort of aiming for the playoffs. And hopefully over the next few years, they can keep improving and putting other pieces around him, because just a quarterback isn't enough, but it's definitely a start. And I'm really looking forward to Trevor Lawrence.
I think everyone's very excited to watch Trevor Lawrence, especially Jags fans, as there's a lot in the UK as they come over every year. So hopefully URN might even get a social day out at the NFL in Wembley. What were some of the most interesting picks from throughout the draft? What made you sort of take notice? Who do you think could be the future?
Well, there was a lot of talk about the quarterbacks, and in a way there always is. You know, I was just saying about Trevor Lawrence, you know, he's definitely going to change their team because he is a quarterback. And for the Jets at number two, they also took a quarterback, Zach Wilson, and I think that wasn't necessarily surprising, but it's definitely going to be making the team of New York Jets a lot more interesting to watch. Number three was San Francisco, and they also took a quarterback. I know we're going to talk a bit more about them later, but again, that's going to make their team dynamics a bit interesting. I'll save that one for later. But another team that took a quarterback was the Chicago Bears. They, I think, were around pick sort of 15, 17 sort of area, and they traded up to number 10. And they took a quarterback, Justin Fields. And in the past, Chicago Bears traded up and took a quarterback, Mitchell Trubisky, and it didn't really work out too well. So they're going to hope that Justin Fields is the answer for their team. And it's, I think that was one of the more interesting picks of the draft, because they had to trade quite a few places to get to, you know, be able to take him. And maybe the teams that were just below were sort of hoping he'd continue to fall down and hoping they'd be able to get a quarterback for their team. And it's interesting that the Bears are sort of like starting again. And if it doesn't go well, then the general manager and the head coach might end up getting fired, because they're pinning a lot of hopes onto Justin Fields being a good player.
As a Chiefs fan, were you happy with your draft? Being 31st in most of the rounds, it's quite difficult to see what you're building. But as a Chiefs fan, happy, not happy? What was your overall thoughts?
Yeah, so before the draft even began, the Chiefs traded away our 31st pick, so our first round pick, to the Ravens in exchange with a few other picks as well, but for a left tackle, Orlando Brown, I think. And I was more than happy with that. I've seen a lot of reaction online from other Chiefs sort of people and saying how, like, having a tackle who's proven and he's already played in the NFL is so much less of a risk than taking a tackle with our 31st pick where they might not work out, or, you know, it's sort of unproven and it's quite risky. You don't really know what you're going to get, and you might not get the player you want. It might, someone else might take them before you. It's just, so I was actually very happy that we traded away our pick at number 31 and instead have this proven, you know, a little bit older, but definitely a proven starting left tackle. We talked about it at the Super Bowl. The Chiefs offensive line was a big reason why we lost the Super Bowl. So that's definitely, like, started to address that area of the Chiefs. And yeah, our first pick was like number 50 something. And we also took a center in the second round. So that's another position on the offensive line. So protecting our quarterback is definitely important, and we've addressed that. So I'm very happy. What about your team, the Miami Dolphins? They took a wide receiver at number 5, Jalen Waddle. What are your thoughts on him?
I am very excited to see what Waddle can perform. Basically, him and Tua were at college together, so they've thrown together, they've caught together. They're a good partnership. They know what they're like, really. Also, the Dolphins have signed Fuller from the Texans. What Tua really missed last year was weapons to throw to. And it's quite obvious when he looked at him play, he looked a bit panicked. There was no one making that great move, and he didn't look comfortable. So I think this signing of Waddle, not Glenn Hoddle or Chris Waddle for the older generation, I'm sorry, Dad. But yeah, I'm quite excited because I just think Tua needs weapons, and I think Waddle might be the answer. You briefly touched on it just before. The 49ers have traded picks to move up to the draft to get the third pick. Controversially, they've gone for a quarterback despite having Jimmy Garoppolo, who led them to a Super Bowl 2 seasons ago. That Super Bowl obviously didn't go well for the Niners, but it went very well for you as a Chiefs fan. What do you think is going on in San Francisco?
I mean, I'm not really sure. And in a way, I'm not sure that, like, San Francisco themselves know what's going on. You said, you know, they traded picks before the draft, so maybe like a week, 2 weeks or something before. So they knew they were getting to this number 3 position. And it was kind of obvious at number 3, they're going to be taking a quarterback because, you know, number 1 and 2 were definitely quarterbacks. And there still was sort of like 3 potential quarterbacks they could take. There was a lot of sort of talk that everyone sort of seemed to know somehow. You know, these people with sort of air quotes, you know, they know that the San Francisco 49ers are going to be taking Mac Jones. And on the day they didn't take Mac Jones, they took Trey Lance. And I was very happy about that. I've actually read a bit about Trey Lance's sort of life story and how he sort of had to overcome being a backup in a few sort of bit of adversity. I just thought he deserved to go in the first round, and I was glad he's gone to San Francisco. But the fact that they even trade up to number 3 to start with, you said, you know, they have Jimmy G, and, you know, Jimmy G was obviously good enough to get them to the Super Bowl, you know, but I think that's kind of the point. It's only just good enough. He wasn't sort of, you know, being the leader necessarily, and he wasn't doing big explosive plays. And in the NFL, it's also about the next big thing. And they wanted a new quarterback who I guess they hope is the next big thing. They haven't really said, you know, they're not going to throw Jimmy G under a bus because they still have to pay him lots of money. So they haven't said if they're going to trade him or what they're going to do, just sit him on the bench. I don't really know what's going to happen, but they're going to sort it out. I mean, it's their jobs on the line. If they mess this up and they go from being, you know, a Super Bowl team 2 years ago to, you know, drama and stuff going on with quarterbacks, you know, it could end a bit badly. But I trust them to know what's going on. I mean, they've put a lot of, you know, they have quite experienced guys, and I kind of trust them.
One last point on the draft. This is a question for all our fans. Please get in touch with us at @UrN_touchdown. Which franchise will see the biggest boost from just their picks? Now, I think I'm going to say we're going to have to avoid the Jaguars, but April's looking at me saying she thinks the Jaguars are going to have this massive boost. What do you think is going to happen, April?
Yeah, I think the Jaguars will have one of the biggest boosts. And second, I would also put the Jets. You know, it is kind of obvious they had number 1 and 2 picks, but they were also so bad last year. The only way is up, and I think they could be a lot better. But another sort of like maybe a bit unknown team that I thought did quite well was the LA Chargers. Last year they were, you know, sort of like 7 wins, 8 wins sort of range. And one of sort of the biggest problems with their team maybe was that they weren't protecting their quarterback, Justin Herbert, and they took a tackle in the draft to protect him. And from other what other people have said, you know, he sounds like he's going to be a pretty good player just to plug in and start every game from the start of the season. So they've, again, on the other, it's again, the offensive line is important because you do have to protect your quarterback, and the quarterback for them, when Justin Fields can, you know, play his best, I think they could be a playoff team. So for them, the draft has sort of boosted them higher up even to get more wins.
We're back. It's Touchdown on URN Live. It's polling day, so if you haven't already gone out and vote, please go and vote. But we have asked our fans who they would want to be an NFL Prime Minister. So far, we have Mahomes from Anne in Bristol, and Catherine in Bristol has also said Osi Manura. Kelly from Basingstoke has said Dan Marino. That's a good choice. April, if you had to vote for one NFL player to be your Prime Minister, who would it be?
It's kind of hard. I quite like the pick of Mahomes because I feel like he's a quite a strong leader. And also he's like learned from people like Andy Reid and other players around him. Another person that comes to mind, I mean, it's a bit linked to Mahomes, is Alex Smith, because obviously Alex Smith was sort of the starting quarterback while Mahomes was sat on the bench for a year. So I feel like he'd be, you know, quite a good teacher and also quite a good leader. And also, in obviously recent years, he's had, you know, the terrible injury and he nearly did die. So he obviously has a lot of resilience and sort of, you know, self-motivation and belief and sort of hope, I guess. It's a bit of a hard question. What do you want from a PM? You'd want someone with experience, but none of these people are as experienced in politics, obviously. So I'm guessing just going off of sort of like their values, and I feel like people would be able to believe in him, hopefully. Well, have you got anyone better than that?
I'm going to offer Ndamukong Suh just for his pure aggression, and he might have stamped on one person in the NFL. Only one. So let's get back to the main talking points of this NFL season. It has been confirmed the NFL will move to a 17-game season with one less preseason game. This is obviously a massive shift in the NFL stats, as everything from has been measured in 16-game seasons since 1978. This extra game has been married with the fact that all 32 teams will have to play an international fixture either in Mexico, the UK, and down the line, possibly Germany. April, how do you feel about this?
I mean, 17 games, I feel like everyone knew it was coming. You know, the NFL want to make more money, and more games means more TV money and more tickets money and everything. And in a way, you know, what's the payoff from 17 games? Well, more players could get injured. There could be more like meaningless games. So I don't really have much of an opinion on 17 games. I guess in my mind, it's just, you know, the NFL are trying to make as much money as they can. And obviously with COVID, they do kind of need to make some money to keep the teams going, I guess. But on the point of like the international, I think it's good. I don't know if it's like a 4-year rotation, like at least once every 4 years they have to play away or something. And I like the possibility of Germany, you know, trying to bring more fans in from other countries. Obviously, NFL UK is sort of, you know, it's quite a thing now. You know, there's been lots of London games, and it's good that there's a possibility German fans could see the games in Germany rather than come to the UK, and maybe it'll span out to some other areas as well.
Yeah, when you go to NFL UK games, there's always a very strong German contingent. And what's quite nice is they do wear their old Frankfurt Galaxy kit, which is the NFL Europe kit for Frankfurt, obviously. I think it's quite good that there's going to be an extra game, because that probably means the fan-owned club of the Green Bay Packers will come over, because they're not going to miss any home games. The Packers, it's fair to say, have a very long waiting list. I think it's something like 50 years to just get a season ticket, which is absolutely ridiculous thinking about that, considering there's only 100,000 people in that town. With the possibility of NFL games moving to the UK, and also with the news of Aston Villa arguing to host the Champions League final, April, what NFL if you could have a NFL game in the UK, what random British football club would you like to host it?
I mean, you stole my point. I was going to bring up Aston Villa and they wanted Villa Park to have the Champions League final. Oh, mate. I don't know. I feel like obviously Wembley and Tottenham Stadium or White Hart Lane, whatever, they've had, you know, the game. So I think somewhere not in London would definitely be my sort of point. You know, maybe Manchester or Liverpool, you know, Old Trafford, it's a massive stadium and I could, you know, why not? But I feel like not in London, that would just be my sort of preference.
I'm going to throw out for the Welsh listeners, the Millennium Stadium. It's in the heart of Cardiff. It's I think it's Caroline Street it's surrounded by. I just think it'd be a great atmosphere. And I know the Welsh have had a bit of NFL support when they came over for a talk. But I just think the Millennium Stadium would be a good ground to go to. Right, after this...
Yeah, no, I love that. And obviously me and you are both from the Southwest, so, you know, it'll be a bit closer than travelling to London.
That's a very good point. I think it's also quite similar numbers as well. And the atmosphere is always good for, like, the Six Nations games. I think you'll know that a bit more because you are a rugby fan. Would you say it's the best atmosphere of those big grounds?
Well, I wouldn't really call myself a rugby fan. I know lots of people who are rugby fans and they've been to Millennium Stadium games a lot and they really, really love it. You know, you're right, it's absolutely great. You know, Wales fans of any, you know, sport, even if it's not, you know, a Welsh sport, if it's NFL, you know, I think it would be really good. That's a good idea.
You're back with NFL Touchdown and we're going to give you some of the headlines you might have missed over the off-season. Deshaun Watson has definitely been in the headlines for the wrong reason. 22 women have filed lawsuits for sexual harassment against the Texans quarterback. It's very unlikely, sources say, that we'll see Watson on the pitch with his contract negotiations being very sour at the moment and the number of lawsuits he faces. In much happier news, Julian Edelman has retired, one of Brady's favourite targets back at the Patriots. Edelman finishes his career with only 3 Super Bowl rings. That is incredible. 1 Super Bowl MVP for his performance against Atlanta and 42 touchdowns. A remarkable career, and we're very glad he didn't join the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Aaron Rodgers is in a bit of a sulk, it's fair to say. He was all over the headlines, sorry, over the draft. It's fair to say him and the Green Bay Packers aren't getting on at the moment, as he could be the first quarterback to play 17 seasons at Lambeau. But it doesn't look like it's going to happen. April, what's going on in this situation?
Well, I just want to firstly go back to your point on Julian Edelman. You said exactly what I think everyone was thinking, like, at least he hasn't joined Tampa Bay yet, but you can never rule out. I mean, Tom Brady wants to sort of get the band back together, so I'm not ruling out Julian Edelman might still be at Tampa Bay before week one. But on Aaron Rodgers, yeah, you're right. It was such a big story on draft day because it came out on the morning of day one of the draft. So sort of overshadowed everyone else and sort of got people in a bit of a panic. The story is about Aaron Rodgers, you know, falling out with Green Bay, basically. He's saying that he doesn't want to play for them anymore unless they sort of, you know, fire their GM, Gutekunst. So it's a bit of a power play in a way. I don't know, like, it makes me wonder, you know, how much power should a quarterback have, you know, to be sort of dictating they have to fire other people. But, you know, Aaron Rodgers has been there, you said, I think 16, 17 seasons. So he's very experienced and he's won, you know, multiple MVPs. He won MVP this year for this season. But it's just that the organization haven't really sort of backed him. I think there was a stat that, like, in the last 10 years, Green Bay have taken one player on offense in the first round. So that means, you know, maybe they traded a few picks away, but they've mostly been picking defensive players. So not really helping out Aaron Rodgers, you know, in that way of offensive playmakers or, you know, offensive line to protect him. But, you know, Aaron Rodgers can't complain. I mean, they have, like, an amazing left tackle. I don't know his name, but I think people say he's going to be a Pro Bowler. They have, you know, good running backs. They have Devontae Adams and some other, you know, maybe not so good wide receivers, but Aaron Rodgers makes it work. And he proved this year that he could make it work. And he had, like, one of the top 5 offenses of the league. So for him to be sort of demanding that they sort of do things to help him, even though he proved it still worked, I think it's still kind of like leftover bitterness about last year's draft, where the Packers took Jordan Love, a quarterback, and it's sort of a bit of competition. And Aaron Rodgers obviously wasn't happy with having a young quarterback being taken, potentially to be like, you know, the heir apparent after he retires. But Rodgers wasn't saying he wanted to retire. So I don't know. It just seems like he was a bit bitter about that still, in my opinion anyway, because why else is he falling out with the management? Maybe it's about money. And I think he has contract negotiations at the moment as well. So, I mean, that was a long point. But basically, Aaron Rodgers just wants the power, and the other people don't really want to give it to him. And it's just caused another falling out.
Going back to your point about the draft, it's 10 years and they've only drafted one offensive player, and that was a quarterback. The rest have been defenses. Aaron Rodgers arguably is lifting the Packers above their station, and because he's so good, he's not being rewarded with any sort of weapons he can use. They're constantly trying to keep up the defense, and it doesn't look like that's going to happen. Do you think, April, Rodgers is at fault? He's been a bit sulky, it's fair to say. He didn't want it to get out. He was at the Kentucky Derby when it all leaked to the press. But it does seem his public appearances on Jeopardy, which is an American game show, suggest he's trying to present a quite popular view to the public. But is he being a bit dictatorish behind the scenes, do you think?
I guess that's kind of the point. He's trying to dictate what happens in the rest of the organization. And it reminds me a bit of, obviously, Deshaun Watson right now. You know, his name is tarnished, and potentially rightfully so, because 22 people have, you know, filed the lawsuits against him. But before all of this came out, there was a dispute between Deshaun Watson and the ownership. And it was the same kind of thing of where Deshaun Watson didn't trust the owners, and the owners said they were going to do certain things and they went back on their word. And it does remind me of the Deshaun Watson situation before the lawsuits thing sort of happened. But for Aaron Rodgers, you know, he has been in the league for so long, he sort of feels like he has a right to, you know, demand more money and demand help. And when people, you know, tell him certain things, he wants it to go through. And at this point, I feel like the Packers, they could trade away Aaron Rodgers, but I don't think they will this year, because what's anyone going to offer them? Like, they can't really trade picks. The picks aren't worth anything until next year's draft. So I think for now, they're going to have to try and make Aaron Rodgers happy. And the way to do that is probably to trade away Jordan Love, because that was the thing that sort of sparked Aaron Rodgers to be angry. If they trade away Jordan Love, then Aaron Rodgers they've proven he's their guy. They're showing him, you know, with evidence, you are the quarterback of the future. You know, we're supporting you. We're getting rid of this young guy. We didn't really need him. That was a mistake. Like, it would be the management owning up to their mistakes. And I think trading away Jordan Love is a much better move for the Packers than firing Brian Gutekunst, which is their GM, because, I mean, Gutekunst has done what he probably should have done, and he's drafted defensive players because the defense has been holding them down for quite a few times. You know, they've had a strong offense because of Aaron Rodgers, so you don't really need to boost the offense anymore. But I mean, maybe they will trade. I just can't see them trading Aaron Rodgers at the moment. He would need so much, like, compensation to go back to the Packers, and I don't know who's got it. There was talk about the Denver Broncos, especially because during the draft, they were at, let me just check, they were at number 9, and at number 9, Justin Fields, the quarterback, was still on the board, but they didn't take him. So people were saying maybe the Broncos sort of believe they can still get Aaron Rodgers, but I think that's a bit of sort of false hope on their part. If they are holding out for Aaron Rodgers and it turns out that, you know, they could have taken Justin Fields instead and improved their quarterback position by a lot, because currently their quarterback is still Drew Lock, I think.
Drew Lock and Teddy Bridgewater. So just, I'm going to play devil's advocate here. No quarterback has played 17 seasons at Lambeau. So that includes Bart Starr and Brett Favre, two of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. Some have suggested there might even be a curse at Lambeau. Do you think if he had to go to one club at the moment, one franchise, Aaron Rodgers would go to Denver?
I don't know if he'd want to. They have quite a good offense, sort of, you know, they have good offensive playmakers, and they have just a generally good offense apart from the quarterback position. And also, it wasn't so long ago that Denver's defense was really, really strong. And I think they haven't dropped off too much. They still have Von Miller. That's sort of the main guy I know of anyway. So I feel like Aaron Rodgers going to Denver would make a lot of sense. And it would make the team good. But it wouldn't really make sense for the Packers to sort of accept that they'd be losing him to, you know, they'd be losing him. So what would the Packers have left? They have Jordan Love, but he's not played a single game in the NFL. I know what you mean about the curse. It just seems a bit of a coincidence, doesn't it? But I don't know. I think it's just after, you know, 16 years, he feels like he should have some power, and he's proven that he's one of the best quarterbacks of the generation. So maybe he deserves a bit of, you know, support and power from the organization.
So that was our review of the Aaron Rodgers situation. And you're back with Touchdown NFL. I'm joined by April down the line. We're going to be discussing in the last 10 minutes what we think of the overall situation of the offseason. April, who do you think has had the best offseason, and who do you think has had the best glow up in the NFL?
We've already mentioned the Jaguars. I think the overall perception of the team is definitely a lot more positive than when they were winning one game in the entire season. So sort of like the overall perspective of their team, I would say, you know, people are a lot more positive about them now. In terms of the draft, maybe I would say the Browns, they picked a cornerback in the first round and a linebacker in the second round. But both of those positions, they were already like fairly strong. So I think it sort of showed people that the Browns are already pretty strong. You know, they didn't have any glaring needs. And the fact that especially JOK, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, he was expected to go in the top 20 picks. So I think they were maybe a bit lucky in the draft, and it made people realise that, like, they are a good all-round team, and maybe the perception of them is that they're, like, on the way up, definitely.
I think the Browns is a great shout. They were very unlucky not to beat your Chiefs over the playoffs last year. One team I'm going to pick for a glow-up is the Cincinnati Bengals, one of the most unfortunate clubs and franchises in NFL history. But Joe Burrow is back to full fitness. He's had another year, he's had his off-season getting that leg back together. And also, his wide receivers have improved. The Bengals signed Chase. And also, if we're talking about glow-ups, we've got to talk about the new Bengals kits. So good on Kitwatch. They are absolutely beautiful. We talked about who we think is going to have the best glow-up. Who do you think has had the biggest drop-off, though, for next season?
Well, it's kind of hard to say. You know, at the moment, everyone's quite hopeful. So I guess you have to look at it as, like, who's trusting players that maybe they shouldn't be trusting. And maybe the Steelers is an example. Like last year, towards the second half of the season, Big Ben just started to get a bit old. And, you know, it's another year, so maybe he's got a bit more old. You know, was that just an off moment, or is this like part of a continuing trend? They have the potential for a big drop off if Ben Roethlisberger does play like he did, you know, at the end of last season. But at the same time, you know, they could be amazing if he plays really well again. You just don't know. But they don't have any real backups. I think they still have Mason Rudolph, which is, you don't want to be playing games with him. So they have potential to be good, but they also, I feel like, have very much potential to be very bad.
I'm going to throw in to that sort of idea of the biggest drop-off, the New Orleans Saints. No Drew Brees. Jameis Winston going to be the starter there. April, do you think New Orleans are going to be anywhere near what they were last year?
It's hard to say. You're right. Without Drew Brees, it's a completely different prospect. I think the only thing potentially saving them is the fact, you know, their coach, Sean Payton, is like so highly respected, so well, you know, experienced, and he has a lot of knowledge. You know, if anyone can sort of create a good offense out of Jameis Winston, it's going to be him and his team of coaches. They did also take a sort of under the radar, they took a quarterback in like the fourth or fifth round, Ian Books, and he has been described as the next Drew Brees. And I mean, if that is true and he's going in like the fifth round, I mean, that's just going to be a coaching job again. So really, it's all down to the coaches and whether they can coach the players that they do have left, because without Breeze, the whole team has to change, surely.
I do agree. Let's have two last questions. Which non-playoff team do you think will make the playoffs this year? I'm going to throw in my Miami Dolphins. I think Tua, with another year, with lots of training and with his new Waddle, I think, especially with Fuller, the offense is going to be lit up, and I think the defense will stop so many offenses. I think we could be a team. I'm going to say 12 wins. Is that a bit optimistic, April, do you think? You're giving the nod. Is it optimistic?
Well, there is 17 games, so 12 wins like in a 16-game season, I'd say maybe is a little bit, but there's 17 games, so you could win 12 games. That is not impossible. Another team I would say, they weren't in the playoffs last year, but, you know, they are still thought of as a good team, is San Francisco. You know, they were only bad last year because everyone got injured. The defense got completely injured. Jimmy G was injured. They had no quarterback. They had no anything, really. So if those guys come back from injury, and obviously if they sort out the quarterback situation we talked about earlier, if there's no drama and they can sort of make everyone be happy and the guys come back from being injured, they should really be making the playoffs, and they could really make the Super Bowl again.
One last question before we go, and thank you so much for listening, everyone. Who is your favourite going into this year? Who do you think will win the Super Bowl in 2022?
That's hard. I might just turn this back to you. Give me a second to think.
Okay. I don't think Brady will do it, if I'm honest. I don't think he can do it 2 years in a row, because that's very hard to do in the NFL as it is in any sport. I don't think your Chiefs are quite what they were. I think, who am I going to say? I don't think the Tennessee Titans will be in around there. Why not? Okay, let's be positive towards the Browns. They were really unlucky last year. Why not the Browns? Let's be a bit more positive. Who do you think will win the Super Bowl next year?
So I've thought of another team, also in the AFC North, the Ravens. Like, the Ravens have been really good on offense for the last, you know, two, three, however long Lamar Jackson has been there. And they've just sort of, you know, had unlucky moments, or, you know, some games where they've played really badly. So they still have Lamar Jackson, and he's such a unique quarterback with the running threat as well as passing. And I think they've added a few more receivers as well, which was like their weakest position. And I think the Ravens, just overall, they just come across like they know what they're doing. The coaches know what they're doing. They have experienced players. They know what they're doing. They have a good system. And yeah, I feel like the AFC is quite stacked, which maybe it hasn't been, you know, in modern times. But even without New England, you know, a lot of good teams are in the AFC. And the Browns, I really do rate them as well. I think they could also be a strong contender.
And that wraps up for today. You've been listening to URN Touchdown. Thank you so much for spending your Thursday evening with us.